We come bowing down before your throne. We know that we could never repay all we owe, but you said that we could come before you as we are, as we are.
This is a recorded presentation of the Heart to Heart Bible Study titled, The Lord Looks at the Heart. Today's recording is part of a series on 1 Samuel chapters 1 through 15. More information about this study is available on our website at www.refugefamily.com.
Father, we thank you. In the name of Jesus, Lord, I pray for a fresh anointing of your Holy Spirit right now. In the name of Jesus, God. I pray, Father, that we would be just so aware of your presence. That, Lord, that you would be glorified in our midst. That your name would be lifted up. That you would be blessed. That you would look at us and say, well done, thou good and faithful servants. Lord, that we would hear from you what you want to say to us. We would change the things that you want us to change, Lord. That we would seek after you with our whole hearts, Lord. Father, that you at the end of the day get all the glory. That's what it's all about. And we thank you, Lord. We praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. So now we have the ark. It's on its way from Ekron to Kirjath Jearim, where it sat in the field temporarily. How many of you, first, before I say anything else that's on my notes, you've all seen at the table where you get your snacks and stuff, you've all seen the little cart with the cows all hooked up and the little Ark of the Covenant in the cart, and then there's the little box with the other things that you put all your time and effort into finding out about those this week. That's on there as well. So check it out. So get a little visual of what was going on when we talk about that cart. Now, how many of you spent a whole lot of time trying to figure out what the golden tumors are and the golden mice? Did anybody else just kind of go, I want to come up with something good on this, because this has got to be something good. There's something here that's really good. I know, I just know it. And you dug and dug and dug, and you found there's nothing about it. Because this chapter is not about the gold tumors and the gold mice or rats. It's about the glory of God. It's about the reverence of God, reverencing his name, being in reverence of him. So it was more of, it's about that. It's not so much about that one thing that we pull out and we go, this is weird, I want to know more about it. So here we go as we move into this chapter. And so chapter 7, the ark is going to find a home in Abinadab's house. And we'll get into that. It will, many years later, it will be removed by David when it goes to Jerusalem. But that's not going to be until 2 Samuel chapter 6. So we won't be covering that. Now, the ark of the Lord has been in the country of the Philistines for 7 months. For 7 months, they have put up with tumors and mice. For 7 months, they've moved it around. For 7 months, they put up with something. And it made me look at it. Last week, we asked the question of what are we trusting in? Well, today our question is, how long will I put up with something in my life? How long am I going to put up with a destructive behavior in my life? How long am I going to put up with a sin in my life? How long am I going to put up with a deception before I seek deliverance? How long am I going to do that? I know I'm not the only one that has something going on from time to time that it comes up, it pops up, and I go, that's still there. Am I the only one? Oh, thank you so much. I feel so much better now. But you realize that there is comfort in familiarity. And these things that are in our lives that we hang on to, they're rotten. We hate them. We hate that we do them. We hate that we think them. We hate that it's in our midst, and yet we hang on to them because there is comfort in familiarity. Because when that's gone, we don't know what to do with ourselves. Does that make sense to anyone else? Yeah, and so that we walk in that way. God says to you today, don't be like the Philistines and hang on to something that's destroying you. Don't hang on to something that's destroying you, and you know what it is. And I know that that's a word from God. I know it as I wrote it down last night. I knew that that was a word from God. And so let it go and see what God will do. Notice that with all the calamities that the presence of the ark brought on the Philistines' country and to its people, they were not willing to relinquish their prize. They did everything they could to hang on to it, hoping for peace and safety. But now they find that's not possible. How many of us find eventually that thing in our life that we finally got it. We finally got it, and we hang on to it, and it's destroying our lives. It's destroying our peace. It's destroying our joy, but we hang on to it because, God, I got this. I got this. And God says, let it go. Send it off to its rightful owner. And that's what we have in our text today. Believe it or not, there was controversy over whether or not the pestilence was really a judgment from heaven. Hard to believe that people would look at that and say, it's just bad luck. There are people dying, good groups of people dying, numbers of people dying here. Their crops are being eaten up by these mice or these rats or whatever it was at the end of the day that went in there and ate up their crops. This was a normal thing that often happened in the areas. It was a pestilence that would come in, and it would raise up, and it would just take all of the food for itself. All of the food for itself. That thing that you're hanging on to, it's taken all of the food for itself. And you are not prospering. We are not prospering by that thing that we're hanging on to. God says, let it go. The priests and the diviners actually united the people by convincing them that there was a course that they should go and they would see whether or not it was good luck or bad luck. And so they went to the priests and the diviners who were known to be men of experience in matters pertaining to God. These were men of experience. They have seen some things. I bet they're old people. That's just what I'm just going to say. I bet they're old people. They have seen some things. They have been through some things. They understand things that maybe other people have not been through yet. And they go to those who have that experience, and their advice was to send back the ark with gifts and implements in it. And so the ark of the Lord was in 7 months. The Philistines called for the priests. They said, what shall we do? Tell us how we should send it to that place. So they said, if you send away the ark of the God of Israel, don't send it empty. Now, we're not talking about whether or not it was empty inside, but don't send back that without a gift. But by all means, return it to him with a trespass offering. They realized these priests, these diviners, these priests of Dagon realized that they needed to offer a sin offering for having taken the ark. These experienced people knew that that was something that was necessary according to their religious beliefs. It was according to their religious beliefs. Then you will be healed, and it will be known to you why his hand is not removed to you. Then they said, what's the trespass offering which we shall return to him? And they answered, 5 golden tumors and 5 golden rats, according to the number of the lords of the Philistines, for the same plague was on all of you and on your lords. Therefore, you shall make images of your tumor and images of your rats that ravish the land. And these particular gifts, they were, as we have already talked about, they were the golden tumors. They were the golden rats or the golden mice or whatever, a depiction of what they saw as the pestilence, what they saw as the disease, what they saw as being put on them. When we lived in Australia, we would go into some of the convenience stores, and as you walked into the convenience stores, and you can see that around here as well sometimes, outside there would be a little, what's the word? It's not a temple, it's a little sacrifice. A shrine, thank you. A little shrine outside with maybe an orange, and there's something else there. And you would look at it and you'd just go, that just so makes no sense. Why would they do that? They're just wasting that that stuff that's going there, because obviously it's not going to be eaten by the god that they are trying to appease. But this is what they were doing here. They were taking the things that they knew as a religious belief. They took what they knew and used it. They followed God as best they could. They went with what they knew. They sent something of value. Gold is valuable, but they sent what it was that they thought was on them. I read from the commentary, "No man can know the will of God as he ought unless he obey that will as far as he knows it at any cost." I'll repeat that for you. No man can know the will of God as he ought to unless he obeys that will of God as far as he knows it and at any cost. So when you believe that that is the truth, now they were in error. We know that. They were in error in what they believed. But in what they believed, what the Philistines believed, they did it with their whole heart. They gave it all. And there are many Christians who don't know how to give it all. Many times I'm that one. I don't know how to give it all. I want to keep some portion of it for some silly reason. I think I can do it. I think I can handle it. And I always can't. But I hang on to that. I'm going to let it go. So according to if following God at any cost, if prayer is a clear duty, if you feel that God has called you to pray, then pray. Do it. If God has called you to confession of sin, if he's called you to that, then confess it. If some great act of self-denial, if God has said to you, "I want you to put yourself aside for this person, for this other person. I want you to put aside all of your dreams, all of your," you thought that when you got married, didn't you? No, you didn't. You didn't think that. That slipped out. Maybe that's something I'm hanging on to. Yeah, I think I should let that go. Let it go. We won't sing that song. That's self-denial. Perform it. If God calls you to do something, and it's going to be, you're going to have to deny yourself. You're going to have to take up your cross. You're going to have to follow him. Then do it with your whole heart. Just do it. Just do it with your whole heart. And then in verse 5, where we left off, and so they talked about what they were sending, "And you shall give glory to the God of Israel." What? What? These are the Philistine priests. These are the diviners. These are the people that we look at and they go, we think, oh, they have nothing to add. They don't understand. They're in a wrong direction. But they knew that they were to give glory to the God of Israel. And how they knew to give God that glory was by sending these items with the Ark of the Covenant. And it goes on to say, "Perhaps he will lighten his hand from you." If you give him glory, perhaps he'll lighten his hand from you. Perhaps he'll lighten his hand from your gods, and perhaps from your land as well. "Why then do you harden your hearts as the Egyptians and Pharaoh hardened their hearts? When he did mighty things among them, did they not let the people go that they might depart?" You see, the Philistine priests, the Philistine diviners, learned from history. The children of Israel, not so much. Those who do not learn from history are destined to repeat it. And here we have that situation. They learned from the past. They learned not to be stubborn. They learned, they were reminded of when the children of Israel were in Egypt. What happened? When God said, let my people go, when Moses went to the Pharaoh and he said, I need you to let my people go, God said, let my people go. And the Pharaoh said, no. And so the pestilence came, and pestilence after pestilence after pestilence, until it came to the oldest son giving their life for the family. And then Pharaoh let him go. And then what happened? And then he changed his mind. Then he goes chasing after him. And it cost what? Him everything. It cost everything to go back on that word. And so here we have that situation where we need to give everything. Don't harden your hearts as the Egyptians and Pharaoh hardened their hearts. Don't harden your heart. When he did mighty things among them, they let the people go that they might depart. They finally let the people go. The priests and the diviners said, finally they let the people go. And they were free of the pestilence, is what they're saying. They were free of the pestilence. Let's learn from history. Let's get this card on the way. Let's send it off on its way. Now, therefore, and so how are they going to do it? And in verse 7, now, therefore, make a new cart. Take two milk cows, which have never been yoked, because the milk cows wouldn't have been anyway, and hitch the cows to the cart, and take their calves home away from them. Then take the ark of the Lord, set it on the cart, and put the articles of gold which you are returning to him as a trespass offering in a chest by its side. Then send it away and let it go, and watch. If it goes up the road to its own territory, to Beth Shemesh, then he has done us this great evil. But if not, then we shall know that it is not his hand that struck us. It happened to us by chance. Now, make a new cart. Don't use one that was used for anything else. They had respect for the Ark of the Lord. Respect for the Ark of the Lord. This mode of carrying the Ark of the Lord was forbidden. We know that. However, the Philistines were not blamed for sending it this way because on this wooden cart, they didn't know, or if they knew, they had no means of observing it. They had no Levites to carry it on their shoulders. And so it should have been carried on the Levites, the priests' shoulders, and not on the cart. But they had no means to do that. By placing the ark on a new cart, never before used, and drawn by young cows that had never before worn a yoke, the Philistines meant to show respect. They meant to show that respect. And so they take the two milk cows and they put the yoke on them. And so in verse 10, they did that. Exactly as they were told to do, shut up the calves at their home, and they set the ark of the Lord on the cart and the chest with the golden rats and the images of their tumors. So the chest was next to, just like it is out on here, they were next to it. It was not put into the Ark of the Covenant. So nothing was removed from that. However, there is some belief that when they sent the cart, that it was a covered cart, like a covered wagon. So that's a possibility that would have been sending it in the right way so that the mercy seat is always covered by things. But be that as it may, to say John Corson's little line there, be that as it may. I don't know where I was going. Anyway, and the Philistines meant to show respect, so they did that. It was against the nature of the cows. Now, later, they're going to sacrifice these cows, right? You know, later they're going to sacrifice these cows. Those were priests there that knew that they were supposed to sacrifice what? The male, not the females. So, number one problem right there. So they went on their own direction. We'll get to that. So they took these milk cows. They'd never before been yoked because they wouldn't have been. And then we're going to see if it goes. It was contrary to the nature of the animals to walk away from home, to walk away from their calves. It was contrary to their nature. It said that there was a fork in the road. They could have gone this way to go home. They could have gone this way to go to Beth Shemesh. And it says that they just went on their way. It says that they went on their way toward Beth Shemesh, and they didn't look to the right or to the left, which means when they got to that fork in the road, they just kept going. Not even a look toward where their calves were at. Not even a look toward home. They were like Lot's, unlike Lot's wife. They didn't look back. You see, it was contrary to the nature of the animals to walk away from home. They would have naturally gone after their calves. It said that there were, so it might have been contrary to the nature of the animals to walk away from home, but it's not contrary to the nature of things for them to do the will of their Creator. It's not against the nature of the animals to do the will of their Creator. It's a reality in every case of animal life that God's will is done in the animal. There are some other times that there were special control by God when it came to animals. You all remember the story of Balaam's donkey, right? Everybody knows that story. I am always amazed when he carried on the conversation with the donkey. That's the one thing. It's kind of like looking at the gold tumors and stuff. You know, it's the one thing I look at. He's carrying on a conversation with a donkey. Come on. Shouldn't that have given him some idea that this was God, first of all? So anyway, so the donkey reproved the prophet, actually spoke to him, actually had a conversation with him that God had put in that way. The lion's mouths were stopped from touching Daniel. That way they were under the control of God himself. The animals coming into the ark two by two. What do you think the chances are that they were wandering through the area and just went, oh, come on, honey, let's go over here. Let's go into that big thing right there. What are the chances that would have just happened? No, it was directed by God because God is in control. All creatures are his. And so the men did what they were instructed. The cows did just as God directed them. And the people of Beth Shemesh, verse 13, and I want you to note in verse 12, then the cows headed straight for the road to Beth Shemesh and went along the highway, lowing as they went. Knowing that their calves are over here, but knowing this is where I'm going. Have you ever been in a place where you know God's taking you here and you walk on that way and you're going, your heart's breaking even, but you know I'm going God's way. I would rather, in my heart, I would rather be here, but God's called me to do this. And as we go along the way, there's nothing wrong with that. There's nothing wrong with just being sad over going a direction that God's called you to do, but you don't feel like, oh, yay, let's go. You don't have to have everything in you that says, okay, let's go. You just have to have a heart to serve him with all of your heart, giving it all to them. And so they went along on their way, and they were lowing as they went. They did not turn aside to the right or to the left. There was no hesitation in their following God. No hesitation in following God. They weren't distracted by what was over here. They weren't distracted by what was over here. They were headed toward the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. They were on their way. They were on their way to do what God told them to do. And the lords of the Philistines went after them to the border of Beth Shemesh. That's going to show up later. The Philistines went after them to the border of Beth Shemesh. Now the people of Beth Shemesh, verse 13, were reaping their wheat harvest in the valley, and they lifted up their eyes and saw the ark and rejoiced to see it. Now here is the picture. First of all, I just wanted to do a little side note here. It probably was in May that this was going on. They harvest in May, and they probably would have at Ebenezer, that war would have gone on about October when the ark was taken. And now here they are in May. And as you know, when did What month did they become a nation? Did Israel become a nation? In May of 1948. So the Ark is coming back in May of whatever the year this is, and then they were they became a nation in May of 1948. And so they lifted their eyes and saw the Ark, and they rejoiced to see it. Oh, yay! What is this? I'm oh, okay. I'm here. I'm reaping. I'm doing. Oh, can you see it? Can you see their excitement? It's here. It's here. God has returned to Israel. God returned to Israel. They're excited. They are so excited about what's going on. They can't believe it. They call everybody in. Come on, from whatever you're doing, from your sorrows, from whatever's going on in you, just come on in. Let's do this. Let's rejoice in this together. The cart came into the field, verse 14. Of Joshua, of Beth Shemesh, and stood there. Just stopped there. A large stone, you know, the cows knew that they were where they were supposed to be. They didn't go a step further. Isn't that interesting? Not a step further. So they split the wood of the cart and offered the cows as a burnt offering to the Lord. So there we go into. This was a city of priests. They knew better than to offer these animals as a sacrifice to the Lord because they were female. They were obviously feeding female. So they did what they wanted to do. The Levites took down the ark of the Lord and the chest that was with it, in which were the articles of gold, and put them on the large stone. Okay, problem number two. Now they have just removed the ark from its covering, and now it's sitting on a rock with the mercy seat in clear view of everyone. Where was that mercy seat supposed to be in clear view of? Only in the Holy of Holies. It was always to be covered. As they traveled through in that 40 years, that was always covered. It was always covered. It was not in clear view of just anyone, but only the priests. Then the men of Beth Shemesh offered burnt offerings and made sacrifices the same day to the Lord. So when the five lords of the Philistines had seen it, they returned to Ekron the same day. Now the five lords of the Philistines have seen this. I'm so thankful they didn't hang around. Aren't you? I'm thankful that they didn't hang around, that God didn't allow them to hang around and see the disrespect of the children of Israel, the familiarity of the children of Israel. But anyway, there are things to be learned from this. They dropped everything, said, God's in the house. People were called from their everyday work to worship God. They said, God is in the house. God, in his mercy, breaks in on the sorrow and cares of our everyday lives with blessings that exceed our expectations and our hopes. God, in his mercy, breaks in on the sorrow and cares of our everyday lives with blessings that exceed our expectations or our hope. God has not forgotten about you or your situation. God has not forgotten about you or your situation. He made a way of escape from Egypt. They saw the salvation of God. Christ's appearance after his death in Luke 24, 36 through 41. For a small moment I've forsaken you, but with great mercies will I gather you. I've just been gone for a short time. The Ark of the Covenant was only gone for 7 months. I'm just going to be gone for a short time, Jesus said. But I'm going to come back for you because I've prepared a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and I will receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. Jesus Christ is coming back, ladies. And we need to live that way. We need to remind ourselves and we need to remind each other that, yes, it's hard right now. I'm going through something really hard right now. There are things I need to let go of, and it's really hard. But Jesus is coming back, and that's what I rejoice in. So we're thankful for that. They were excited about the restored favor of God. Their cry of anguish has been heard. The intercession of Samuel has been heard. The intercession of Samuel has been heard. Ladies, I want you to know that there are people who are interceding for you. For you specifically. For some of you, by name, they are interceding for you. And you don't even know who those people are that are praying for you. But there are people praying for you. I am thankful for people who are praying and interceding for me. I am thankful. I can't make it without your prayers. I can't live without prayer. I cannot live without prayer. And neither can you. I am thankful for you guys. And I am thankful that we get the privilege of praying for one another. God, in his mercy, breaks in on the cares and sorrows of our common life with blessings in excess of our hopes. And so there they do. They sacrifice. It was a city full of priests. They could sacrifice, but wrong kind of animal. It was a sign of penitence. It was a sign of homage, and it was a sign of gratitude, met with the highest joy and excitement. So they, in their excitement, they just did what came next to them. They carried back the, so the five lords in verse 16, the five lords of the Philistines witnessed the restoration of the ark and the joy of the men of Beth-Shemesh, and they became wiser men because of it. They carried back the information that the God of Israel was indeed the destroyer of Dagon, the controller of the disease, and the Lord of the creation, and that he was a friend of Israel. Now they know. He took it back to the Philistines. They took it back. They took back this good news. So their defeat was their triumph. In verse 17, And it describes the golden tumors and the Philistines' returns as trespass offerings to the Lord, one for Ashdod, one for Gaza, one for Ashkelon, one for Gath, and one for Ekron, and the golden rats, according to the number of the cities of the Philistines belonging to the five lords. So here we have a little discrepancy as well. We said we have five of those mice or rats that were given out for those five lords, but it says here that of all the cities and the golden rats, according to the number of all the cities of the Philistines belonging to the five lords, of all of the cities, both fortified cities and country villages, even as far as the large stone of Abel on which they sat the ark of the Lord, which stone remains to this day in the field of Joshua of Beth Shemesh. Then, verse 19, he struck the men of Beth Shemesh because they had looked into the ark of the Lord. He struck 50,000 and 70 men of the people, and the people lamented because the Lord had struck the people with a great slaughter. So here we have another thing. We have another discrepancy in this number. I know that you all, as you studied, you went, well, is it this? Is it this? Is it that? Does it matter? It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. But it was most likely, if it was 50,000, it would have been the entire area. They didn't even have 50,000 in that area. So it would have completely annihilated everyone. And God always leaves a what? A remnant. Always. There's a remnant. So as I understood it from the commentary that I read, it was actually, according to Josephus, it was 70 out of 1,400. So it was 20%, they slew only a 20th part, so 20%, according to Josephus, 70 out of 1,400. But, you know, so what's the big deal here? What happened? How did this all come about? The first thing that we need to know is that the Philistines showed more reverence toward the ark and toward the God of Israel than the children of Israel showed. So what happened? The ark of the covenant of the Lord, the evidence of God's relationship with his people, had been returned to them. They were so excited that they took the wood from the cart, made a fire, and sacrificed the cows. Here's what we see. Here's where we see the hands still reaching, Hophni and Phinehas reaching into this particular time. Remember what Hophni and Phinehas were doing? Let's cook it all up. Let's take the best parts. Let's have this big feast. And what was happening at that feast? We talked about that. What else were they doing? Let's have lots of wine. And it had become a drunken party in with a covering. It looked like it was, we're sacrificing here. This is a holy thing that we're doing. We're sacrificing to the Lord. We're bringing glory to the Lord by our sacrifices. And yet they were drunken. And what happens when you take any substance that takes over you? You lose your, I wrote it down because I knew I wouldn't, your inhibitions. You lose your inhibitions, and they lost their inhibitions. And in that losing of that, they did things that they wouldn't otherwise have done. It appears that they pried open, took off the mercy seat. Number one, everything of the mercy seat was in view. It was not to be in view. The priests knew that. It was out there for everybody to see. That's the first thing. Then they took it off. What did they do when they took it off? They removed mercy from the law. They took mercy away from the law. The letter of the law will kill us. It's the letter of the law that kills us. Mercy triumphs over justice. Mercy triumphs. It is by God's mercy that we are not consumed. God has given us that mercy. That mercy seat was there because it was a covering for the sin of the people. It was a covering when we can't fulfill the things that God's asked us to do. The ark was to be covered probably, and so the rebellion and the blasphemy are revealed in their disobedience. Because of this, God has to bring judgment upon them. Why did they have to die there? Why did they have to die? Who were these guys? They were the leaders. You've read that there is a greater condemnation that comes on leaders. I don't know if condemnation is the right word. A greater judgment that comes on leaders because they are leading people in a way, in the same way that Hophni and Phinehas were leading them, in a way that causes them to blaspheme the name of the Lord. And God cannot have that. And so he had to stop them in their tracks. He had to make it known that, no, this is unacceptable. This disrespect is unacceptable. Because I deserve the glory. I don't see God standing up there and going, well, I deserve the glory, so you're dead because of it. But no, he does deserve the glory. And he can't afford to allow someone to be in leadership and continue to lead in a way that draws people away from the Lord. So it had to stop there. And so there they were. And the men of Beth Shemesh said, who's able to stand before this holy Lord God? These guys are priests. They are leaders. They are people who knew the law. They are people who knew what it was to keep that mercy seat on there. They were people who knew what God's mercy was. And they said, who can stand before this holy Lord God? I would give to you the idea that they did not know God. They did not have that intimate relationship with God. And to whom shall it go up from us? Okay, I can't deal with this. Let's pass it on. Here we go. It's on the road. It's on the road again. It did stay in the area of Beth Shemesh, out in the field for a little while. It was right out there. So they sent messengers to the inhabitants of Kirjath-Jearim saying, the Philistines have brought back the Ark of the Lord. Come down and take it with you. We're excited to have the Ark of the Lord here. We think you guys should have it. Come on down. I know that you guys will make it travel the way that it should travel. So they sent the messengers. in a superstitious way, they want to get rid of the ark because they think that the ark is the reason for what happened and don't even know that they're being disobedient and they are leaders. They didn't even know that what they had done was blasphemous before God, and they are leaders. And that is a sad state of affairs. In other words, so they said, come and get it. In other words, Israel is not ready to receive the ark. God's people are not prepared to return to him. Today, are we prepared to return to our God? Today, are we prepared to return to the living God, to live our lives holy and acceptable unto him, to give him all we have, all we are, all we can be, to give him the glory, to remember the past, to remember how they delivered him out of Egypt? I got a situation in my life. I got a situation in my life, and I don't see how God's going to deliver us, but I will remember he delivered them out of Egypt. I will remember how he got them through the Red Sea. I will remember how he delivered his people. And I know I'm his people. And he's going to deliver me. And so, Father, I thank you, Lord, that you have spoken to us today, that there are things that you have spoken to each one of us. Some of the things I didn't say, but you said it. Lord, you spoke to our hearts. You spoke something to me even as I was talking, Lord. And I'm so thankful, Lord, that you don't leave me out when it's when I'm standing here teaching, that you still speak to me. And I'm thankful, Lord, for your presence amongst us and the evidence of that presence. Lord, may we always give ourselves wholly and completely to you, that you would be glorified in our lives and through our lives, that we would set aside those things that so easily beset us, those things that just hang on to us. Oh, no, those things that we hang on to. Lord, help us to release our grip from anything that draws us away from you. We love you, Lord. I am so thankful that these ladies get to get into small groups and talk about the things that you've said to them over this past week. I'm so thankful that they're in these groups and being able to be prayed for and loved on. And we're thankful, Lord, for your presence with us as always, Lord. And we want to bless you, honor you, and glorify you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for listening to this Heart to Heart Women's Bible Study recorded at Refuge Calvary Chapel in Huntington Beach. We hope that you've been encouraged by today's lesson and join us again as we continue to study through the Word of God. For more information about the Heart to Heart Women's Ministry, please visit our website at www.refugefamily.com or call 714-891-9495.
Letting go, standing up, stepping out, walking on. In the power of your name, I'm giving up, letting go, standing up, stepping